Hello and welcome to the Python 411 podcast series, Computer Programming for Everybody. This is a podcast comparing Python to a lot of other prominent programming languages, explaining from a hobbyist point of view the differences and why one might choose one over another, or at least what application types one would choose one language over another, if possible. And there's been a request that I do this from some of the listening base out there, and it's something I'm very interested in. I'm not an expert in programming of any kind. I'm a hobbyist, an intense hobbyist in Python, who has also investigated other languages a little bit. So let me start by saying that I don't think that there will ever be one programming language that will be the be-all and end-all, at least not any time in the near-term future. I believe that there are many languages which serve great purposes, which are going to be around for a long, long time. So while I love Python and I think use of Python will continue to grow and prosper, I don't think it's going to replace all other programming languages by any stretch of the imagination. Also, I would like to say that the programming language field is changing constantly, so what I say today won't be quite as true in a few years. But having made those caveats, I think programming languages I'm going to divide them for my purposes into five or six types or categories of programming language, which may be slightly different than the categories others put them into, but from a hobbyist point of view, I think that conceptually, Python falls into the modern scripting languages category, in where I include Python, Perl, and Ruby. Some are more modern than others, but Python, Perl, and Ruby. One could also include Lua, which is less prominent, very simple, straightforward scripting language, and others. But those are the three most prominent scripting languages, Python, Perl, and Ruby. Tickle is an old one. Now, some people don't like the word scripting language. Call it modern dynamic languages, high-level languages, whatever you want to call it. That's one category. And I would say, as opposed to the very tool or IDE-specific modern languages, such as the Microsoft .NET family, which primarily consists of C# and VB.NET. You could also put C++.NET. In that category, and let's not even talk about Iron Python at this point in time. Iron Python, by the way, is a Python .NET implementation on the .NET platform. C# and VB.NET, I feel, are most noted for their Microsoft's excellent Visual Studio IDE. It's far beyond any IDE that Python or Perl or Ruby has, I do believe. I believe that it's a great IDE. I don't use it personally, but it's good. Especially the other big limitation is that really these are targeting only the Microsoft Windows platform. And you could argue that, but that's for 99% of the purposes. Those are good languages to use if you want to create GUIs for Windows. The related category for the rest of the non-Windows world and Windows, but if you want to target cross-platform, Windows plus Linux plus Mac, then you have the Java family, which also is IDE-specific, the Java platform. So Visual Studio is a platform. .NET is a platform. Java is a platform. Java is a platform that's cross-platform with great IDE tools, most prominently probably the Eclipse set of tools, the Eclipse framework, which was released by IBM into the open source world. It's up there on a par with Visual Studio. It's very powerful. And there are Python plugins, but it's and other languages, but it's primarily known as it's written in Java, and it's primarily got more tools for programming in Java than any other language. So Java is one of the five categories, the Java set, the .NET set is another. Then you've got the old style system languages, the basis of computing in higher level languages above assembly language, which you have C and C++, which are related in the sense that C++ is a superset of C. So theoretically, ANSI C, the standard C programming language, if you write a program in that, it should run, should be compilable by C++ compilers. But C++ is the object-oriented, greatly extended version of C. And those two languages are not going away. I mean, they are so crucial. C++ is still probably the most prominently used systems programming language for high-level applications. But C is actually even more basic. It is the basis of almost all computing. Python is written in C, primarily. Perl and Ruby are primarily implemented in C, I believe. So C and C++ are extraordinarily important languages. The fifth family is what I call the application-specific scripting languages. And I put two, JavaScript and PHP. JavaScript and PHP, because JavaScript primarily targets the client-side scripting, web scripting, and PHP primarily targets server-side web scripting. So those are my five basic categories. The sixth would just be another catch-all category where I would throw in things like Lisp or Scheme, Ada for Ada Lovelace, the female computer pioneer, which is a military, very, very safe programming language. You know, if you don't want bugs, they program in Ada, the Ada people say. And then the old scientific language, Fortran, that was taught 30 years ago when I was in college. And then Pascal and the Delphi toolkit from Borland, which is a Pascal dialect. So let's look at these language families, not the other category, but the other five categories one by one. I think I'll save Python for last. So let's go for first the old systems languages, C and C++. Starting with C, if you want to compare C with Python, there's a lot of differences. Of course, Python is written in C and can be extended in C. C is a relatively simple language. In some ways, C is not all that difficult to learn because the syntax is not all that large. The part of C that is difficult is the memory handling. In high-level scripting languages, modern languages like Python or even Java, memory management is handled for the programmer, and you don't have to worry about it. In C, you have to manage your own memory, so you have to allocate and deallocate. And that is a lot of work, which you don't have to do in Python. Now, the advantage is, though, that a language like C gives you, it gives you much more intimate control down to the hardware level of your computer system. So if you want to write device drivers for hardware devices, C is probably the right language to use, or C++. I suppose it could be done in Python, but Python is not intended for that purpose. The C programming language is the basis of the syntax for many other languages, maybe most other languages, and probably every serious programmer should learn C. Having said that, I am not a C programmer, I confess. My son is, you know, he's 16, and I think he first learned C when he was 9 or 10 years old. And it was his first programming language. And I think that was good for a young programmer to learn C first because it is the basis. C is like the new assembler. When I was in college, we learned assembly language. I took a course in assembly language because that was the underlying systems programming language that the higher level languages then were Fortran and C. So, and things like that. And then a little bit later, Pascal came on very strong with Turbo Pascal from Borland. But C, I think, is great for a first language for a serious programmer, but I did not learn C. C++, on the other hand, has the reputation of being very complex and difficult, one of the more difficult languages to master. Bjorn Strouds, I forget his name, Stroudson. You know, you'll see him on the web talking about C++. He's the creator of it, and it's a very powerful language, maybe the most powerful language ever devised for programming. But it is difficult, and I probably don't recommend C++ to anyone these days, unless you're a computer scientist. And if you already know it, that's wonderful. But I think if you're starting out in computing today and you're serious, you might learn C, but then you might move on to Java or C Sharp or something, and then the Python-type scripting languages. But I wouldn't recommend C++ necessarily. It is complex, very complex. And, okay, moving beyond those, that category, let's move to the Microsoft category, the .NET family. Again, I don't want to say much about this. If you primarily only use Windows and you don't have any desire to program in a cross-platform way, you're only going to program Windows, and you don't mind being locked in to Microsoft tools, Visual Studio, that is, then the .NET family may well be for you. And frankly, if you're going to be primarily creating GUI programs for Microsoft Windows, and even if they access a database to get the data, then, hey, the .NET family is probably the easiest way to go. Although, my limited experience with Visual Studio, which was a long time ago before .NET, was that just learning the tool itself was non-trivial, okay? Learning Python I found to be easier than learning Visual Studio, but that was a long time ago. And if you're more modern and you understand computers like my son did, I think, you know, learning an IDE like Visual Studio would come much easier for you. Certainly, Visual Basic has long been thought of as one of the easiest programming languages. Now, VB.NET is a vast rewrite. It's not the same as the old VB.5 and 6 and prior versions. Still, VB.NET is it's a fine language. C Sharp, however, the new language, the Java ripoff language, originally known by the code name Cool, it was Microsoft, of course, they couldn't accept Java, which was created by Sun, so they had to create a ripoff. So they created C Sharp. But by all accounts that I have read and heard from serious programmers, they did a good job. C Sharp, they hired a really good programmer, a creator of languages, and he helped lead the effort to create C Sharp, which is really a good high-level language. And I guess if you didn't know VB already and you decided to learn .NET, you should learn C Sharp, not VB.NET, because C Sharp is the more, I don't want to say more powerful necessarily, although it might be, but it's the more common type of language. C-sharp syntax is very similar to Java and similar languages, so VB syntax is very different from any other language, and probably you don't want to learn it unless you already know it. But again, if you want to learn a .NET language, Microsoft Windows, and you don't know any yet, C-sharp is the way to go. It's a good language. I'm sure it's more difficult to learn than Python, but, you know, and then there is Iron Python, which is coming on. Jim Hugunen, who created the original version of Jython, JPython it was called at that time, created Iron Python, a Python.NET implementation, and now he was hired by Microsoft to complete it. But I would say I much prefer Java. If you want to be in that IDE camp where the IDE does most of the work for you, which is different than Python, then I would recommend Java and the Eclipse framework. You know, Java was created originally by James Gosling, working for Sun Microsystems in the early 90s, as a language for embedded devices to control peripherals. And it was rapidly morphed into a web language where you could do Java applets to have user interactivity on websites. And it was meant to be right once, run everywhere, and it's not quite there, but more than any other language probably, other than C, which can be compiled anywhere, and C++, Java code can be made cross-platform most easily. And Sun has good developer tools, but the Eclipse framework is becoming the standard. It's a wonderful set of tools. It's a powerful IDE, as powerful as Visual Studio, maybe more so. And I'm sure that there's a non-trivial learning curve to learning Eclipse well. And the Java language is much more verbose than Python. But Java is very object-oriented. I did learn Java myself before I learned Python. I'm not saying I was by any way, shape, or form an accomplished Java programmer. But I spent a lot of time learning Java. I benefited from the experience. I was able to create simple programs and simple Java applets. But once I found Python, I left Java behind because Python was so much easier to accomplish the same tasks. So, before I turn to Python, well, let me say one of the reasons Python is so much easier than Java is because the sheer number of lines of code. You can do the same thing in a third the number of lines of code in Python that you could do in Java. To create a hello world in Java, you have to create a class and instantiate it. You know, you have to use classes and object orientation just to do anything in Java, which Python, you know, you can start out procedurally and then go functionally and then object-orientedly. But let me move on to the scripting languages. I've divided them into two halves, the Python, Perl, Ruby half, but then the application-specific half is JavaScript and PHP. In my opinion, no one should ignore these application-specific languages entirely, especially JavaScript. Between JavaScript and PHP, for web programming, PHP on the server side and JavaScript on the client side, you can do just about any kind of simple web scripting you might want to do. And JavaScript is often easier than Python to use for client-side programming of the web, for user interactivity in forms. You just use HTML forms and tables and JavaScript code. And it's probably the most commonly, widely used programming language in the world if you count all of those websites that use JavaScript. PHP, on the other hand, while it has a reputation for being unclean and not well structured, it's probably the most commonly used program for server-side programming of websites. PHP just allows you to get things done quickly and simply, relatively, because you can embed the code very easily in the HTML of your website pages and make your calls to the server and run your server-side programs. So one thing's for sure, I don't think either of the app-specific languages, JavaScript or PHP, is going to go away anytime soon. In fact, both are, in their own little fields, much more popular than any of the big three of generic scripting, Python, Perl, and Ruby. But let me turn to that category now, which is the primary category we're all interested in, presumably. Perl was the original. Well, it may not have been the first scripting language, but it was certainly the 800-pound gorilla of the early Internet days. Perl was the scripting language that was created by Larry Wall to replace or extend or improve upon the basic shell languages, like the Bash shell and the Corn shell and those kind of, the Born Again shell. Basic shell scripting, which can be very powerful in its own right, but Perl, using the same kind of syntax and logic, was a full-fledged programming language. And it was used almost exclusively for CGI programming, for Common Gateway Interface, a simple way to run server-side programs on your website. And for system administration tool for sysadministrators, Perl is still probably the most common. Perl became just everywhere. On Windows, on all Unixes, Perl was dominant, and that dominance still hangs over. While Python has come on strong, and then in later days Ruby, Perl is still the number one. Now, Perl, the downside to Perl, from my point of view and many, is that it's verbose, it's hard to read. It's hard to read your own code 6 months later, much less someone else's code. In Perl, one of the mottos is, that there's no one right way. There's a lot of ways to do it. Do it your own way. You can do the same thing many different ways in Perl, accomplish the same programming task. But that very complexity and variety, variability, causes it to be very hard to read and hard to interpret. So Perl has a lot of dollar signs for in front of variables for and at signs and all kinds of... It's just not pleasant to read. Having said that, a lot of people love Perl, and I would never say anything bad about it. But for those of us who are Pythonistas, Python was a vast improvement on Perl because it got rid of the curly braces. And seriously, I do like a programming language without curly braces. Python's the only one I've ever used, but I fell in love with it because the curly braces did make it visually cluttered. When I learned Java, all those curly braces were not a help to me. And I think Python's block decoration by syntax, by indentation, is great. And the beauty of Python is it's simple. There should be only one way, obvious way to do it. And The Zen of Python by Tim Peters, it's on my website, and it explains the thinking behind Python. Python is a beautiful language. Python is a literate language, and it's not verbose. You could, print "Hello World" in quotes, instead of creating a class in Java to print "Hello World." Python, as all of you know, is beauty personified. That and other factors makes Python much better for creating moderate to large programs. So Perl is good for a one-off script, a short script, shell script. But I think although there are large applications written in Perl, it gets to be more difficult to document and to interpret and to come back and debug and extend. Whereas Python, I believe, is used for, it's more accepted use for very large programs like Zope, like the Chandler project, which is a project to create a PIM and a very extensively capable large application. Many large applications are written in Python. And that brings us to Ruby. Ruby came on the scene later, and it probably has stolen a little bit of the thunder of Python. Python is still much more popular than Ruby and has many more libraries and many more users, much more common. But Ruby has a lot of similarities to Python, but also a lot of similarities to Perl. Ruby is object orientation from the ground up. I actually read the first book, the Pickaxe book of Ruby, and I learned a lot by reading it. It helped me not only understand Ruby, it actually, reading that Pickaxe book by the practical programmers, Dave Thomas and his colleague, actually helped me to learn object-oriented Python programming much better, because Ruby is the ultimate object-oriented language. Now, it has curly braces, which is, and it's more complex syntax than Python, but the object orientation is very straightforward. You know, and everything's just a dot this, dot that. Ruby.new. My favorite chapter of the Pickaxe book was Ruby.new. And, you know, that explains that Ruby is a new language that I think hardcore programmers sometimes fall in love with because it's easy to metaprogram. It's very easy. It's very introspective. Now, Python also is very introspective, but Ruby is even more so. And it's so introspective that you can create little application-specific programming languages in Ruby. And I know that some of the luminaries of the Python world, including, I think, Guido von Rossum, and also the fellow who wrote the... Bruce Eccles, who wrote Thinking in Java and Thinking in C++, who's now a Python promoter, he also has made the comment that Python is better for programming large projects than Ruby because Ruby is so flexible and so easy to extend in various ways that it can become problematic in a large programming project. It creates dangerous kinds of opportunities for the programmer to go wrong. Now, I'm sure Ruby aficionados would not agree with that, but it is a comment that I think Guido tries to be a little bit safe. He gives Python programming very extensive capabilities for introspection so that a program can program itself and program about itself and look inside classes and program with what's inside there. But he does it in a safe way. He errs on the side of being a little bit safe so that he doesn't make it too easy for situations to develop where that creates maintainability problems long term on large programs. And I think that he and Bruce Eccles believe that Ruby may well be so flexible and offer so much flexible, introspective power to the programmer that the programmer can create techniques and algorithms that ultimately become difficult to maintain without some very complex bugs and misbehaviors developing over time. So Python, I believe, is a practical language. I believe that above all, you know, you might say that Ruby is the best programming language for object-oriented purists. If you're a purist and you want ultimate object orientation to the max to be your number one theme for your language, then Ruby might be better than Python, although Python is wonderful for object orientation in and of itself. And I suppose if your number one thing is terseness, the ability to write complex, terse code in one-liners, Perl might be the best. But with Python, I believe it's pragmatism. I believe that Guido von Rossum has created a language which is powerful, easy to learn and use, but pragmatic above all else. It's practical to get things done and to read and to maintain. And I like pragmatism in a programming language, and I think that's why so many people like Python, one of the reasons. And the fact that Guido keeps developing it with the addition of list comprehensions and generators and iterators, the language just keeps moving forward, but in a conservative fashion nonetheless. So Python is a pragmatic, practical programming language. Another beauty of Python is its educational purposes. Now, I don't want to overplay this, but, you know, Guido did originally, I think, create Python as an educational language. And for me, that was its ultimate value. The way it has a gentle learning curve, you start out with simple procedural programming, print, hello world, and work your way up from there. And then you move into functional programming, not maybe on the level of a Lisp or Scheme, but you declare your functions for algorithms that need to be repeated more than once in your program. And that's what I did. I wrote my first simple Python scripts and programs procedurally, and then I transformed them into functional programs. I defined my functions. And then I took the same code and turned it into object-oriented by creating classes, which it turns out that my scripts were perfectly amenable, and it made them much more understandable and clear and readable to make them object-oriented. But when I first started learning Python as a true novice, it would have been hard to go right into the object-oriented style of programming. But by the time I got there, it made it more clear and more easy. So Python as an educational language is wonderful. And as a first language for a hobbyist, it's got to be the best out there. Also, as a first language for a serious student, it's great. Although, as I said before, maybe C would be my first choice for a serious programmer to start out with and then move to a Python, maybe, and then a Java. But Python, as far as popularity goes, it's continuing to gain popularity. I know that Ruby, if Ruby didn't exist, Python would probably have become even more popular. So the reason Ruby is really on a roll is because of one great application, Ruby on Rails. That's their web server software, web framework software, and it's much simpler and easier to use than Zope, although Zope is probably more powerful. And Python has a dozen competitors. Now, many people are trying to create Pythonic equivalents to compete with Rails. Django, D-J-A-N-G-O, is the latest one. But before that, I think Cherry Pie, which is still extremely popular and relatively simple to use. So you got Cherry Pie and Zope and Django and Subway, which I think uses Cherry Pie. But you know, Python has a lot of tools, whereas Ruby has this one, Ruby on Rails, which is taking the world by storm and making it very popular. Ruby was created by Yoshimoto, I can't say his name, Mats, they call him, Mats. Yoshi Matsumoto, I don't know, Mats, M-A-T-Z. And, a lot of the original users were in Japan. A lot of the documentation was originally available only in Japanese. But certainly it's coming on in popularity. And I'm not going to say anything bad about Ruby. But Python is pragmatic, practical, educational, powerful. You can't go wrong by choosing Python. All of us Pythonistas know that. But you can't go wrong. Even as a Pythonista, I don't think you can go wrong by learning any other language that catches your fancy. Certainly Ruby. I would say the Pickaxe book. If you read the Pickaxe book and work through the examples, you'll become a better Python programmer. If you learn JavaScript, you'll certainly be able to do some things, simple client-side things, easier than using Python CGI. I wouldn't recommend PHP unless you already know it. I wouldn't recommend the Microsoft stuff unless you really have that Microsoft urge. But Java, I don't know. If you really want a powerful IDE, now that's the one area where Python, Perl, and Ruby all may be behind, and that's in IDEs. As you know, there are many IDEs for Python, great ones. Some people use Emacs or Vim. They're innumerable. But even if you want to go to GUI creators and visual programming tools, you've got Boa Constructor for WXPython and Python Card for WXPython, and you've got other great tools, but not probably as good as the GUI creators for Eclipse or Visual Studio. Now, maybe, if you're on Windows only, maybe the Iron Python, Jim Hagunen's Python for .NET, will solve that. And certainly, you also have Komodo. You do have Komodo available from ActiveState, but I think that's an IDE. But I think from ActiveState, they also have a Visual Studio plugin module for Python. I've never used it, but I guess it would allow you to use the GUI creator. I'm not sure. Someone ought to create a great killer simple GUI creator for Python to compete. And I think Python Card comes closest, because for me, Python Card is by far the easiest way to create a GUI for Python. And I wish that Python Card would be more popular, but it's, if you haven't tried Python Card and you have any interest in GUI creation with Python, I recommend it. It does use the WXPython framework. Now, if on the other hand you want Pythonic command line GUI creation, then you got to go, I think, with Hans Noack's WAX. The WAX module sits on top of WXPython. It's not a visual tool. But for command line, it makes programming GUIs in Python totally Pythonic, so you can almost take the WXPython widgets and say, how would the most Pythonic way to program this functionality be? And it'll probably work almost. That's how good WAX is. So I recommend that. Everything I've mentioned here, you can find all those things on my website at www.awaretech.com with a K. And I'm going to be coming out with many more podcasts about Python, although they're not going to come out necessarily every week, so don't get too impatient. This one is unusual in that I was comparing all the different, comparing Python to other languages. The next, I'm going to go into some very specific Pythonic subjects that I think are sometimes overlooked by newbies and not learned thoroughly, and I'm working on a podcast of that type right now and a few others along those lines. So if you're interested in learning a programming language, Python is the one. This is the podcast series for you. I hope you found this enjoyable. I wish I could have gone into more detail, but I have to limit myself to a half hour due to my software, and I'll be coming back to you very shortly, actually, with another very specific learning podcast about an aspect of Python programming that I think you will find very informative. So for now, thank you for listening in. This is Ron Stevens and Python 411. Oh, please don't forget to go over to Podcast Alley and vote for Python 411, especially after the turn of the month, September 1st. And another announcement, I was interviewed by Rob Walch a couple weeks ago over at Podcast 411. You know, he has one of the most popular podcasts around with thousands of listeners. And he interviewed me, and I talked about the Python 411 podcast series as well as my other AwareTech podcast series. So it should bring in a lot of new listeners. You might want to go over there and catch that. It should be posted over there any day now. So happy Python programming.